Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. We thank you for having come down with a shout to voice the trump, knowing that Satan also has his three things. He has his mark, the name, which is a denominational blasphemous name, and he has a number of that name. Both have parousias in this hour, but yet, Father, we know that your parousia is drawing us to you. And so, Father, we just ask you to help us, Lord, be drawn up into thee, and help us, Lord, to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and may we be filled with the right wiseness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in continuing from this morning, and this will be number 20 in our series on Satan's Eden, number 2 in our right wiseness versus unrighteousness. This morning we examine righteousness, which is right wiseness, and unrighteousness, or unright wiseness, and how it comes via revelation, and how important revelation is, and versus unright wiseness, which lacks the revelation of God's word. We examine also the condition of the end time church, which is called Laodicea, and found that the people have one thing in common. They're all blind to their own condition, and thus they do not know what right from wrong. They were given a commandment to apply the eye salve, which is a restored word, that they might see. Now, the salve is usually they take herbs and they mix them together, and then they mix them with oil. And oil, of course, we know represents the Holy Ghost. And they use that as a paste. And so eye salve then is used as a paste over the eyes and allows all that, the grit that you wake up with when you have a cold. I think William woke up this morning. He said, "Papa, there's all kinds of like sand in my eyes, you know." And you all probably know that. And so Brother Brown said his mother used coon grease. Well, so anyway, but God has given us his oil, okay, the oil of the Holy Ghost, to apply for our eyes. And so that we might return to the original word seed life. Then we went to Malachi 3 to show you that there has to be a return to the truth and life of the word. And God had to come down with a shout and work through a prophet in the spirit of Elijah to do so. Now, the thing of it is, most people, you know, when they think of the seventh angel, they think of a man. When they think of the Elijah of this day, they think of a man. It's not a man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he uses a vessel, always has to use a vessel, because otherwise, how would he get it to you? See, he has one man he can contact. He brings the word through that one man. That one man is yielded 100%. I wish we were all in here yielded as much as William Branham was yielded to the Holy Ghost. And we're getting there. But, you know, you've got to let your own thinking go. He did. And so, you know, that's how God deals. Now, so we see that the trademark for this age now, remember, is the same as Malachi. I counted it one day in Malachi. There's something like 24 times the term thou sayest occurs, okay? And we read it this morning as we're closing out. You know, he says, because thou sayest, I'm a rich, you know, increase of good and whatever. And in Revelation 13, 14 to 22, they are absolutely in parallel. And of course, you know, we read in Revelations, you know, because thou sayest, I'm rich, increase of good. Thou sayest, you know, it's all about what you're saying. Well, are you saying what God's saying or not? You know, and so you got people are saying, and people are saying what God's saying. So people are echoing and people are saying. And God doesn't care what you say. He cares what he said, because it's eternal. All right. Now, if this is the age of thou sayest, then this group is also going to be sayest, sayest, sayest. There are the Bible dovetails. You can't change it. Every place you go to this message dovetails. The people are talking, but they're not echoing. And there's only one group that's talking right, because they're the group that's echoing what God said. The other group is not talking right. They are not echoing. Even if they quote the word, they don't have the right inflection upon it. See, now they're not echoing. The one group that we have must be saying the right thing. It must be an echo. And notice, before this man Elijah comes, let's see if it's all in one lump. He said, "Then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." You see, they're saying, but they're actually not even reflecting the condition that they're in. You know, it's a delusion, all right? Now, the actual condition of these people was that they were actually speaking contrary to the word of Almighty God. Now, God must do something in order that this whole lump will not speak contrary to the word of God, or God will simply send the avenging angels and destroy the whole lump. Now, you know as well as I do that God's not going to have only a part of a body ascend in the resurrection. Remember, the body of Christ must come to its fullness. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we all henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, see, not a part, partial body, a whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, not just some, but every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, you see, when you got a fivefold ministry, there's a fivefold ministry. It's not a fourfold, not a threefold, not a twofold, not a onefold. It's a fivefold, all right? That's all parts. Now, every member must come in. The body must be full at this last great day manifestation, which we're looking for, in its own peculiar, quiet, simple way. Now, he says, I'm not going to allow the whole lump to be destroyed. So what's he going to do? He's going to send Elijah. Now, watch, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And also, not just your anoint your eyes, but I'm going to give you the eye salve, whereby you can anoint your eyes that you may see. See, it's not just us, oh, I got to clean my thoughts, I got to do this. No, it's him doing it. It is God working in you to perform or to get. It is God working in you to will. So it's God willing, and then God doing, and then you're willing and you're doing according to him, according to his good pleasure. Now, notice he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, be zealous. The zeal of the church at this age, in the light of the coming rapture before Almighty God, is a zeal for the word. Because the word repent means to change your mind. Repentance is not a good feeling. Repentance is not sorrow, because godly sorrow worketh repentance. Not godly sorrow worketh sorrow. Now, repentance means change your mind. Look it up for yourself. See, repent, the message of the age is change your mind. Because it's by the mind that we're going to be renewed and transfigured. That's Romans 12, and we've already read that. Therefore, if you don't have this message, you'll never make the rapture, because nothing outside of this message will come to light. Now, do you see why I preach it? And remember, the mind is the womb. Therefore, if you receive a wrong word, you receive a wrong seed into that womb. All right? And thus a wrong life. But if you echo the record God gave of his son, and you receive the same life that he gave of his son, 1 John 5 and 12. And it's not what somebody up here interprets and tells you, it's what does the word say. There is one message from this age, and that message is repent, change your mind, see? Your mind has everything to do with it, because God cannot instruct an idiot. The only thing he says about the feeble-minded is comfort them, because they don't know anything. Now, conscience is a part of your mind, and this age is so mentally shot before God that unless this mind is attacked by the word, the sword of Almighty God, which is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that if this word does not attack and change our mind, we are just as much lost as anybody else is. The message of this age is repentance, change your mind, get lined up with the word of God, see? Not just your actions. We've had fine men for many generations. We have had sweet, loving men for generations. But this is the age where man has left that word, and consequently they left God, and now they refuse to come to grips with the word that the prophet brought. Now, he said, if Elijah doesn't come and bring you back, and the message is a change of mind, it's not that they don't worship God. They are worshiping God. It's not that they don't steal. They're not stealing. It's not that they refuse tongues. They're speaking in tongues. So what is it? The word of God might be restored. Now, you can only talk according to your mind. I know people make foolish statements, and they say, well, you know, that man spoke. He spoke before he thought. But that's a lie, because it's not impossible to speak before you think. All right, the man just didn't think long enough before he spoke. That's all. Now, how are you going to have a people speaking the things of God that wants to hear, that's going to come back or echo back the record that God gave of his son, in order for God to make up his jewels, unless it comes by the mind? See, to speak out of your heart signifies only sincerity of what you really are, hypocrite or otherwise. But you got to come by the mind. Now, he said, be zealous to keep changing the mind of yours and lining up. Keep changing from glory to glory, from doxa to doxa, because at the end time, in this great Holy Ghost age, that's going to be precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there, which boils down to precept, line, word, 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 until it's one word. That's your end time. This is the hour where the word changes us from mortal to immortal. Now notice what Jesus also said about this end time. I want to show you how it all comes to pass. In Luke 17, verse 26 to 30, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Flood came, destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, planted and built it. The same day Lot went out of Sodom, and it rained fire and brimstone. Now, Brother Bram said, this is so simple. It goes over everybody's head. He's looking for this. He's looking for that. But what about looking for the word or looking at the word? See, every thought into captivity leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, it's going to rain again. Now, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17 and 30. In fact, in Luke 17, or Luke, in, I think it's 18, chapter 18 or somewhere in there. You know, he says, that the condition of the hour will be that the floods come. You know, the rain comes, beats upon the house. The man that had his house built in Revelation, it withstands. But the man that didn't have it built in Revelation, the rains come, it beats upon the house, and the flood carries it away. All right? So the rains come. Now, notice what Jesus said here in Luke 17, 26 to 30. He said, this was going to happen, see? Now, if you just let me illustrate something here, Jesus in Matthew 17 said Elijah would surely come and restore, and Peter explained it at Pentecost. Now, if Peter had the keys and explained that at Pentecost, or just after Pentecost, what Jesus meant when he said Elijah would restore, then in my thinking, it is absolutely possible that Peter might also have taken these words about the days of Noah and Lot and explained them to us in the light of what he was speaking of, end time restoration of the word, without which man would not know righteousness from wickedness. And no, it does work. Let's go to 2 Peter 2 and find out. 2 Peter, if you're going to see what Peter does, the same thing for us that Jesus did in Matthew 17. All right, now verse 1. But as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers among you, who privily, that means privately or secretly, shall bring in damnable heresy. Bring into where? From where? You see? Bring into where? Bring into the word for that hour. All right? Bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, you don't need a lot of false prophets. You just need a couple of real 14-karat phonies, and you'll have 100 teachers rise up to follow them. That's right, teachers who privately, secretly, bring in damnable heresies. Bring into where? Into the message of the hour. The very thing that Paul spoke of in 2 Corinthians 11, even denying the Lord that bought them. And they say, sure, they don't know whether God is one Lord, two Lords, or three Lords. They don't know God. They don't know the Lord God of the Gentiles. They don't know the Lord God of the universe. They've got a Jehovah and an Elohim and a Jesus, but there is only one, and they don't know that one Lord. And they don't know how that one Lord could make his son Jesus both Lord and Christ. See, I remember mentioning that look, if there's only one Lord, you got to stick with what Paul said. If there's only one Lord, and then this same Jesus whom you crucified, Acts, I think it's 13:48, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And you say, oh, now we got two Lords. You see, they don't know the one Lord. Paul said one Lord. Moses said one Lord. Jesus said one Lord. How can you now make it two? I said, how can this one Lord make his son another Lord, and now you got two Lords? It's impossible to stay with the scripture and then say that. How did it happen that this one man, Jesus, was made both Lord and Christ? Because God, the one Lord, entered into him, and now you got a body for that one Lord. It's so simple. And they say, now he's denying it. He's denying it. So what? I'm denying your thinking, but I'm expressing what the Bible says. The same God who said in Moses, who said in Jesus, who said in Paul, that behold, there is the Lord thy God is one Lord. One Lord, one faith. One baptism, one Lord, not two. And I also said these same people, and Brother Vail told me, this goes back, I don't want to get into that, but I said these people that are preaching two Lords are not going to say there's two spirits. Oh man, you should have seen them come down to me on that. Well, you know what? I really don't care. because I'm sticking with what the scripture says. I don't care what they think. You know, they can go off into this and that and this and that and this and that. Pretty soon they're off into la-la land. Like we read this morning, you know, if God didn't call them to preach, then what are they preaching for? Because they're preaching error. And they would believe them are believing error. I can't stop that. But I can preach against it. You see? So, notice. They don't know the Lord, the one Lord God of the Gentiles. They don't know the Lord God of the universe. They've got a Jehovah and an Elohim and a Jesus, but there is only one. And they don't know that one. And they don't know how that one Lord could make his son, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, and yet remain that there is one Lord. Why don't they know? Because they don't know that one Lord. Therefore, they cannot determine right-wiseness from unright-wiseness. Therefore, they don't know who is righteous and who is not righteous. Now, here's an identifier right here. And many, Peter says, and many. That is an identifiable characteristic right there. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's bloodless ways, sure. If you do not walk in the light, the blood does not cleanse, right? 1 John 1:7. You've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. Then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, which is unbelief. Well, they turn them down. It says that they denied the one Lord. Therefore, no light, no understanding, no blood. So your understanding and your offering back to God is bloodless, and like Cain's, it cannot be accepted by God. You say, oh, come on, preacher, that's not right. Did you read or hear of what Jesus said about their worship was in vain? He said that, I hope you know, oh, it's worship all right, but it's in vain, and God will not even consider it. He said, but in vain. Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines. Oh, the commandments of man. See, not teaching for doctrine what God said. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. They're teaching doctrine all right, but not his doctrine. And only a certain little group in Malachi 3 were talking his word, his doctrine, his teaching, and all others were talking, but God did not hearken to their talk, only those who echoed what he said. There's your difference, my brothers and sisters. That is the only thing that sets those people as different from all others, is what they were talking to each other about. And it wasn't NASCAR, and it wasn't football, and it wasn't about hunting and fishing. It was echoing what his word was for the age they lived. Now, notice that these others came into the message and begin to teach other things. They brought into it, he said, but not what he taught. And the Bible says, and many shall receive what these false teachers shall teach. Many. And actually, what they teach brings the way of truth into disrepute, by reason of whom the way, the road, the progress of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, the Greek word there is blasphemed. All right, where it says evil spoken of, that's blasphemed. Because of what these false teachers bring into the message, the real truth and the proper road to that truth will be blasphemed. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. That's what the Word of God teaches. And through covetousness, well, what's that? It's greediness. Shall they, who? The preachers, with feigned words, fictitious words, a fallacy. Oh, did Brother Vail say that about two lords? It's a fallacy. See, fallacious words, fictitious words, make merchandise of you. So they gear their words to get the most they can out of the sheep. They purposely make merchandise of the people, just like we read of the Corinthian, of the Catholic spirit in the book of Revelations, where they are said to have dealt in the merchandising of souls of men. Same spirit. Now just go to their websites and you find them selling this and that and the other. Hey, if the shoe fits, they got to wear it. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, it's not just the last few years, you know, something we see on the websites. It's been for years. You know, buy this series, and they got this big, beautiful book, hardbound, and they got these cassettes or DVDs, and they're all in a nice wrapper with their picture on it and everything else. Buy these, only $20. Oh, yeah, but I heard that on... Well, now they can't even do that. I mean, they do it. But right now, I mean, you just go to their website. You can just watch it for free. But it's all about money, 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 money. Keep the money coming in. And now bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's exactly right, because the swift destruction comes at the end of time when they're having a great hallelujah jubilee, when they think there's a great worldwide gathering. They're looking for a revival when our Elijah prophet said the revival is
over.
Now, if you've been in the message as long as I have, you've seen brothers in this message. Back in the 70s and 80s, it was selling peanut brittle and having garage sales and doing this and doing that. We're going to raise money for the missions. And then you see the pastors buy themselves the best bass boats and best, you know, pickup trucks and everything else. Well, is that the mission? Is that what the mission's all about? It's all about the money. It shouldn't be. I've never asked this church for one penny for missions. Never. What comes in as tithing goes out to the missions. And it's helped the brothers overseas tremendously. Now just think, if we had, like some churches, $100 million. $100 million, what could you do with $100 million? I could feed a lot of people, put shoes on a lot of people, hey, we've done it. I don't want to get into all that stuff, but we, not with $100 million, though, of course. But what I'm saying is it's all about merchandising of the people. Hey, we got caps, we got ball pens, we got shirts and T-shirts, and we got all this stuff that has our logos on it. Well, what do you need that for? It's to make merchandise of the people. You would think $100 million be enough. It's not. Oh, yes. They think it's just wonderful, and it will look wonderful, and there is swift destruction coming because they've denied the very God that was sent forth among them when God identified himself among them who we are. Oh, they say that proves you stuff? It's false doctrine. Is it really? Do you even know what you're talking about? Well, we're going to find out that they don't. We're going to find out why. Amen. I like that. It sets my soul on fire. I'll sooner go to hell preaching the truth than to go to heaven preaching a lie. I'm actually quoting Brother Vail here. But I believe the same thing. You've got to have tough fiber in your soul, brother, sister, or you will not be able to stand up against the onslaught against the truth. This is the end time. Stick with the word of God. Sure, someone's going to get offended, but don't worry. Let them be offended. Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. And he's the word. And many, it says, will follow their pernicious way, 2 Peter 2, where the blood of Jesus Christ will not apply anymore. They can talk all they want about sacrifice, but brothers and sisters, the blood of the covenant won't do them one bit of good because they've turned down the only way to the blood, which is through the word of God, according to Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, and also Hebrews 6. Now listen, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, 2 Peter 2, there you are, these jewels will speak against evil. They'll speak the word of truth. No wonder God's making up his book of those who speak certain ways, a certain way. Why? Because they speak and say what he said like he said it. Amen. I'll tell you that if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and he is in you, you'll speak the truth. And if you're in the truth, you'll be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and put them both together and you'll be confident. Now, notice verse 3. Through covetousness. What is covetousness? It's a wanton, right? You want. Through covetousness, they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, diverted them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, well, there they are. As it was in the days of Noah, giving in marriage. We're going to get the picture of this right now. See, what we're talking about, he said they'll be parallel, and yet he said in Malachi they wouldn't know right from wrong. Now let's find out about this picture, whether God's going to renew men's minds and give them a chance to repent. Now listen, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. There you are. Sure, got to happen this time too. God had to send a preacher of righteousness. Remember, we read from Romans 10. If he doesn't send a preacher, then those that hear, those that are preaching aren't preaching. Those that are hearing aren't hearing. Those that are believing falsely. So there had to be a preacher of righteousness like there was in Noah. And I believe William Branham was one of the most consecrated, perfect, guileless men in the world. But I want to tell you, other men were just as great in the same gifted way. There's people like Mother Teresa, okay? Mother Teresa, very humble, serving the people all the time, but she didn't have the word. Not a preacher of righteousness. All right. Now, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, what brings in the judgment? When the righteous word goes forth and men reject it. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them examples unto those who should live godly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with unlawful deeds. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment. You got a picture right there where God said he's going to do it in Malachi. Going to overthrow the world with a flaming fire of judgment. I'll not destroy this world once more by water, said Jesus. I'm going to destroy it by fire. Now, I'm not speaking now of dissolution of the elements when he's going to bring New Jerusalem down upon a recreated universe, a new earth. I'm talking now when he said we're walking on the ashes of the wicked. That's millennium. All right? And you've got them two sitting right here, and they're going to be there. But he saves the righteous wise, or the rightly wise, as he saved Noah, as he saved Lot, see? And their souls were vexed. Why? Because there was a cross current on the word. That's what it was. He's numbered every bit as good as this other group over here. They've got just as much power. They've got just as much spiritual worship. In fact, they seem to have more. But the cross current lies on the word. See? There's where your revelation comes in. There's where your revelation stands. Now, verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. See, now why? They're not washed by the water of the word. I don't care how good they act and how perfect their actions are, how moral they seem to be. If you've been washed in any place outside of the washing of water by the word, brother, sister, it won't hold up. Therefore, as Jesus said to John in the River Jordan, suffer it to be so, thus it becometh us to fulfill all right wiseness. Why? Because the word says so. The one that you see that Holy Ghost ascending upon when he's baptized in the water, that'll be him. John said, well, you know, in my humble way, Jesus, you know, I should be washing your feet. Jesus said, suffer to be so. In other words, the word of God says it's got to happen. The lamb has got to be washed before it goes to the sacrifice. Don't you understand? Oh, now I get it. Do you really, John? You see? How many even go as far as the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, you've got multiplied millions of those and billions, or even talk about a three God and a Trinity in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, when there's 3 millions of men named Jesus. You've either got a cross current right now on one sweet name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says then, Peter goes on, he says, and they despise government. Sure they do. They hate governments in the church. This is not just simply about typical government. They despise the authority that God said in the church. And that despising is in every church, Laodicea, people's rights, and you see it in every day in the news, despising governments. Now the same people that say, well, we don't need a fivefold ministry, we got a prophet. Oh, when if the prophet were here, they'd be saying, we don't need you, we got a fivefold ministry. Why? They despise the headship. All right, and they despise the leadership of the Lord that God has put in the church. Now, notice, presumptuous are they. The headship should be Christ. Because Brother Brown said, it's not the preacher that preaches, it's God preaching through the preacher. Okay. It's not the teacher teaching, it's the God, Holy Spirit, teaching through the teacher. Now, presumptuous are they. That means that they do without the right to do. Showing that they are not rightly wise. They don't have, thus saith the Lord. And what is it to do something you're not supposed to do? What's that called? Iniquity. You know to do right, but you don't do it. You see? they talk it, but it's not an echo to them. It's not in their thinking. And he says they're self-willed. They won't subject their own will to the word of God. And if they do not, then Philippians 2:13 does not speak of them. For it is God working in them, both to will and then to do his good pleasure. And therefore, if they have their own will and do their own will, then God is not involved at all. They are presumptuous, then, and self-willed, and not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, the Amplified Version puts it this way, despising authority. Presumptuous and reckless, self-willed, arrogant creatures, despising the majesty of the Lord, they do not tremble when they revile angelic beings, which is messengers of God. And so you see, in those that have fallen away, like the old parable says, fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trot. And so they call a vindicated prophet of God, they call him a liar. And they call him all other kinds of things. And they don't realize they're just storing up for themselves against the day of wrath. Verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power, might not bring a railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Well, what about people that call the parousia of Christ, which Jesus spoke, Paul spoke, Peter spoke, John spoke, James spoke? What about those people who call it false doctrine? They're speaking evil of things that they don't understand. If they truly understood what it was, they wouldn't be speaking that way. If they truly believed the message for the hour, when the prophet used the term presence 4,400 times, and then he used other words like he is here and things like that, and accumulated up to about, I think it was like 9,000 or 10,000 times, all right, in only 1,200 messages, so that's about 7 or 8 times a message. And he called appearing and before the coming, those kind of things. And then they called the parousia of Christ, which means the presence of Christ, puke or false doctrine. They're speaking evil of things that they understand not. Well, what's the judgment to those people? Come on. Now look, I told Brother Vail and others, I said, if I don't care if all the world's meat is poisoned, every bit of it, I will eat it and pray over it and eat it, knowing that the scripture that says that they will, those that fall away and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they will abstain from meat. I said, that won't include me because I'm going to eat it. I don't care if it's poison. I don't care if I die eating it. I'm going to eat it so that I'm not one of those people that's deceived by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see? Well, what about this? Speaking evil of things they don't understand, and then calling things they don't understand false doctrine or puke or garbage or whatever. They're going to have to answer. It says, things that they know not. Then they ought to just shut their mouths if they don't know what it is. I remember a friend of mine, he visited a church one time where after the church was over, 8 brothers in the church were standing around and talking bad about the parousia of Christ, calling it all kinds of false things. So this brother walked up and said, I hear all those bad things that you brothers are saying about the parousia. So what is the parousia? And not one of them, out of the 8, not one of them even knew what they were bad-mouthing. Not one of them. I've heard ministers call it puke because they couldn't pronounce parousia. And others call it false doctrine. And none of them know what they're even talking about because Jesus spoke of it. Paul spoke of it and said, if you don't preach what I'm preaching, you're cursed. And yet Jesus spoke of it, Paul, Peter, James, John. They said, if you preach anything contrary to what he taught, you're cursed. And James and John, all of them spoke it, Peter did too, as Bible doctrine of the end time. But these... this is not me now, this is Peter. But these as natural brute beasts speak evil of things they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. What's their own corruption? Their own words. There is a way which seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Now listen, I get sick and tired of quoting scripture and then someone come along and say, you're targeting so-and-so. I didn't write this, the Holy Ghost wrote it, and he prophesied it through Peter. And I didn't tell these people to speak evil of what they don't know anything about. I had nothing to do with their speaking evil of it. But Peter told us they would. And to speak in ignorance against it calls them as natural brute beasts speaking evil of things they understand not. And he says, these shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And that word means decay. Decay. I didn't write that. But I certainly will echo what he said. And that places me in Malachi 3 as a jewel in God's crown. And it places you too if you say it like he said it. But by grace are you saved through revelation, and that not of yourself. But brothers and sisters, if you don't have the revelation, then you have a reprobate mind. A reprobate, not revelation, but delusion from a corrupt mind. And no revelation at all is just a delusion. They shall receive the reward of unright wiseness. As they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots are they and blemishes, spoiling themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Now who are they feasting with? He said they'd be feasting with you. These are them that privily bring in their own thoughts and reject God's message for the hour. That is what we're reading in 2 Peter 2. How about these false teachers will bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies. So they're feasting with you, listening to the same word of the hour you listen to. And in 2 Peter 2 and 13, what do you feast on? The word of God. And they're deceived concerning their own creeds and dogmas, having eyes full of adultery. Listen, they say, well, only listen to the prophet. And yet you ask them what the prophet says. Oh, no, 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 oh, no, 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 no. If it didn't come out of Jeffersonville, I don't want it. I'm sorry, but if it comes out of the word of God, I do want it. If it didn't come out of Brother so-and-so's camp, I don't want it. Or Brother so-and-so over here, his camp, I don't want it. Well, that just shows you're reprobate. You're reprobate. You have a mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? A worthless mind. You have a worthless mind that just follows a man. And the Holy Ghost is not leading you because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Who's the Spirit of God? The Word. In the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word is God. He's the Holy Ghost. Now, and they're deceived concerning their own creeds and dogmas, having eyes full of adultery. Join this, join that. Oh, it's wonderful. All together. Let's all get together. The ecumenical movement is on. Hallelujah. We're all brothers. Well, count me out, please. My stomach can't take it, and I've got a headache as it is, which I do. They cannot cease from sin. They're beguiling unstable souls. The rock of revelation is only stability anybody's got. And the heart they have exercised with covetous practices, greedy practices. Cursed children. They belong to Cain. And don't forget, Cain was cursed. They have forsaken, notice verse 15, they have forsaken the right way. They had it, but they turned it down. That's Hebrews 6. And have gone astray, how? Following the way of Balaam. What was the way of Balaam? Let's all join together, aren't we one? Balaam, who used the genuine, pure gifts of God to enhance himself and destroy Israel, and died in sin fighting Israel. That's exactly what the Bible teaches, because he was found dead in battle fighting against Israel and was rebuked for his iniquity, daring to use a gift apart from the proper place of its use. Now listen, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness. Notice they are mad. Brother Brown said, they've got spiritual amnesia, the madness of the prophet. That's what the Bible teaches. They will go mad. These are wells without water. What's a well? It's a form, all right? It's a form that you dig and you place, and it's a form to hold water, all right? They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. What's that? The Holy Ghost. There is no water. And he says, they're wells without water. Just having a form. They're getting something, but it's not water. No, no Holy Spirit, no washing of the water by the word. Then in spite of the fact that they say that they have the Holy Ghost, they don't. See, having a form of godliness, they're denying the power, which is the Holy Ghost, which only comes by the word. So in turning down the word, they turn down the Holy Ghost. Now notice, they are a well, that's a form to hold water, but they have no water, they have no power, no Holy Ghost, because they are clouds carried with the tempest. In that's Peter here now. Over in Jude, he says they're clouds without water. Well, what's a cloud? Doesn't Paul say many clouds of what? Witnesses? So a cloud is a witness, and yet they have no water. They have no word. See? Oh, I was there when Brother Ram did this. I was there when Brother Ram did that. Well, show me in the scripture, brother. Show me what you believe in the scripture. Well, I was just there. Yeah? You're a cloud without water. See? To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak, thou sayest, great swelling words of vanity. Vanity is vain, doesn't do you one bit of good, pride. They allure through the lust, the pleasure of the flesh, much wantonness. Those that are clean escape from them who live in error. In other words, religious experiences, cleaning up their lives, giving the gifts of the Spirit manifested, looks like the real thing, but haven't got it. They've got the form, they got the bricks, they got the mortar, they got the shape, they got everything right, except for one thing. There's no water, no word. They got the music, they got the worship, they got the hallelujahs, they got everything's just exactly, you know. The preacher does a certain movement, and everybody says, amen! It's no different than the Catholic Church. You go in, you genuflect, the next person goes in, genuflex. The priest says, ah, da, 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 and everybody goes, amen. It's the same spirit, only one's in Pentecost, one's in the Catholic Church. No thinking at all. No stimulation of revelation, just stimulation of emotion. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servant of the same corruption. So what was the corruption? They corrupted the word of Almighty God, which brings death and not life. See? Sure. I know the world thinks they've got that we have strained at a gnat, swallowed a camel. That's where they're wrong. See? Now watch. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. What did they leave? Yeah, they left the word, the truth. They went after gifts. They had manifestations. We'll tell you what they had shortly. They had a lot of things, but they're in bondage. They're right in bondage. They put their ear to the door and they said, I love my denomination. I love my tongues. I love my organization. I love my church. I love this. I love that. And I love the way I'm going. And the little old awl punctures the earlobe and they'll never hear again. No, they won't. I can prove that. Wait till we get to Hebrews 6. Sure, listen. After that, they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. After they escaped the pollution, they turn back to the pollution. They escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein. They've gone back to it and overcome. And the latter end is worse than them than the beginning. Look at all these people came into the message, cleaned up their lives. Lived what would be considered by most people a good, godly life. And then they got critical of the prophet. They left the message. Now the women look like men, their haircuts. The men look like effeminate women or metrosexuals. And they've totally gone back to the pollution they came out of. Like what? A dog to its vomit? Like what? A hog to its swaller? That's exactly what Peter gets on here. Now listen, the Bible said, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they shall never perish. No one will pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. He said, you're sealed in by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Eternal security is absolutely in the Word of God if you're born again. And these folks were not born again because they can go right back to where they were. What are you born by? You're born by the revealed Word of Almighty God. So therefore, these weren't creeds and dogmas, and don't see miracle after miracle based upon the fact that they believe in a God and that they are one with Him and that God is a God of love, though they deny the virgin birth of the beloved Jesus. If I can see that, then don't tell me you can't see Almighty God or the mighty miracles, of those who go further, and they're all wrong, and if they don't go back to the Word. Listen, I've been to several big-name ministers in the denominational world who had definitely had miracles going on, and they had scams going on. But the miracles were genuine in that the people thought they were going to God, and so they pulled something in from God. But it's there, but they don't have the Word. They have nothing to save their soul. And so like Brother Brown said, they come, and 30,000 will give their hand and say, give up my life to Jesus, and a week later, a month later, a year later, they're back in the same what they were before. Nothing to hold them. There's no Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and where were you? You were one of those little words inside of Him. If you happen to be one of those in Malachi 3 who's saying what He said, echoing what He said. Now, it says their end is going to be worse than their beginning. He said, you can't imagine, He said, what you think that you escaped. You can't imagine the bondage you're actually placed yourself in. Now, let's go back to Malachi 3. Except those who speak this certain way and fear the name, except by revelation, it says, all of you who are going to be destroyed. Wait until the tribulation hits them and they'll say, my God, what happened? Where did we miss it? See? Of course there'll be some saying, well, we were told that we don't get caught up until the end. Then when will the end come? Rapture, rapture, rapture. No rapture? See, now listen. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Didn't Paul say it had better that they didn't preach? It had better that they hadn't listened? It had better that they hadn't called out to a false God? It had better been for them that they didn't know the difference between right and wrong? It were better that they hadn't had the chance to know. That's what he's saying, really saying. He knowed it right from wrong, see? Far better than after that they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. How many times was it delivered? Twice. Alpha, then Omega. Remember ye Moses, the law of Moses in Mount Horeb. Remember the second time the word of God comes. The second time Moses came down with the word of God, what happened? Because the people were so caught up into idolatry, it got busted. He busted it in anger. God had to have him go back up there again, another 40 days, and then come down with the word a second time. What happened the Alpha in Ephesians? You look at the second church age, Irenaeus is totally bringing out all the falsehoods that were propagated during the time of the Ephesus church age. They fell from their first love. So what happens? I will restore. I will restore all the years that were lost. I will restore the word. So what? God comes down himself with a shout. And guess what? Your ears heard it. Your brothers didn't. Your sisters didn't. Your mom didn't. Your dad didn't. Your cousins didn't. But you did. You heard that midnight cry. You heard the shout. And were caught up into the shout. And it changed you. It transformed you. And you begin to echo it. And as you echoed it, the very life that was in that word began to echo in your life, changing your life. Now remember the second time the word of God comes, the second time, remember the first time it could fall, but the second time it can't fall. Why? It's restored. See? You got a bone that's broken. If it mends right, it'll never break in the same place again. Why? Because there's a new growth around it. And God came, used a man, a messenger of Malachi 4. But the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he speaks to a man to do what? To return the hearts of the children back to the original word of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word which you gave us. It's so beautiful. It is so refreshing. And we had nothing to do with it but to be the recipients of it. And what a beautiful thing it is to be called his jewels. And to be placed in his crown, to be placed upon his head. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to the uniting of the head to the body. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.